wonder if you'd pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I echo the prayers that have already been offered this morning for those that won't be home for Christmas. There's a variety of reasons people won't make it home. God, I pray that we can be that home for people, that we can create that space, that we can share that love and that light. God, I pray this morning as I speak that you might speak through me. God, that you would give us all ears to hear what you want us to hear. You'd open our minds to understand. Our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to just share a few brief thoughts about this idea of home. We've been in this series called Pop Christmas, where we're looking at different Christmas songs, popular Christmas songs, and how we sort of see intersections between those songs and our faith. And I've noticed as I listen to songs, I'm looking for all of those places of the intersection with the song and the Christmas narrative and the Christmas story. And this song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, really hit as I was listening to it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, isn't Mary just a rich example of this reality? She wasn't home for Christmas. I mean, she wasn't home before Christmas. She gets this story about a baby being born, and as I said last week, things get pretty dangerous for her. She's not married, and she's gonna be in trouble. She seems to have some sort of fear about what might happen. Sure, she's been told she's carrying the Son of God. She's going to bear God's child. But the law says that she has to get in trouble. The law says that what she has done is really bad. So for the first time ever in reading this story, I noticed something different. I'd always thought about this interaction where Mary leaves and she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house and thought, wow, isn't that beautiful? She went to see her cousin. No, Mary was on the run. She was leaving home. She had to go somewhere else safe. So this 13 or 14-year-old girl who's been told some of the best news of her life, she is going to have the child of God, is now fearful. She's fearful of what might happen, and she's got to run. I want to take you to the story from Luke chapter 1 this morning, verses 39 to 45. It says, Mary got up, listen to this word, and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. Mary wouldn't be home that first Christmas. If you know the next part of the story, not only is she not home at this point, she's at Elizabeth's home, but then her and Joseph have to go to Bethlehem because they're told they have to go and register for the census. And then, if you know the rest of the story, they still don't go home after that because someone's after them and they flee to Egypt. So this concept of home is very foreign to them at this moment. They're not going to be home. It's a sad, sad thing. It's a sad reality that Mary can't share this joy with her family, the people that she loves, the people that she knows. But I want you to see and look again at how Elizabeth provides that home for her. With a loud voice, she blurted out, again, God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. When I read this last week, I thought, isn't this a fascinating interaction? Elizabeth greets Mary and she doesn't say, what have you done? How in the world did this happen? She doesn't say, what's going on? This is not the way it's supposed to be. She doesn't go after her. No, she simply says what an honor it is to have her in her home. She makes space for Mary. She makes home for her, just as Mary is making space for Jesus, the Son of God. It made me think about what Xander just shared. Not everybody's going to go home for Christmas. We have immigrants in this country who can't be with their family and go home for Christmas. We have folks who can't afford to make the trek home. We have folks that have to work so that hospitals stay open, so that fire stations and police stations stay open. We have folks that have relational discord and it's not safe for them to come home. There are all kinds of reasons that people won't go home. And it's funny, I've listened to this song that Jillian sang 100 times, maybe 1,000 times in my life. And every time I'd heard this song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, I thought about those old Folgers commercials. Anybody remember those? Where somebody's in their bedroom, they're always in their bedroom, and they smell coffee brewing downstairs. And they run down because who is this foreign object in their home? And somebody showed up unexpectedly, a child from college, a sibling that they hadn't seen in a while. And I thought, that's what this song is about. I'll Be Home for Christmas is all about coming home. Except then I looked at the words again. Look at the lyrics again. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only what? In my dreams. Maybe this song is not about a happy ending. Maybe this song is not about the joy of coming home at Christmas. Maybe this song is about people who can't make it home. And I wonder how many people are around us. How many people do we experience? How many people do we know that are longing to find home but can't find it? For Mary and Joseph and Jesus, it wouldn't be safe to go back home. They can't find their way back there. And I started thinking about how many people is it hard for them to find home, whatever that looks like, to find that place of peace, to find that place of comfort, to find that place where your face is on a plate sitting beside you. How many people can't find that home? And then I thought, maybe it is the job of us, the people who call ourselves the church, to make home for other people. Maybe it's our job to create home for people. I want to look at this story, this interaction with Elizabeth and Mary, and see how she makes home for her. Here's the first thing we learn from Elizabeth. Be present for people. Mary shows up unannounced. Elizabeth doesn't say, oh no, you didn't call. She doesn't say, you didn't tell me. She welcomes her. She is completely present with her. She stops everything she's doing and embraces her. She opens the door. Do you know how powerful that is? To simply open the door for people, to welcome them into your life. Elizabeth provides a safe haven for Mary. She knows the law. She knows the rules. She knows what was supposed to happen, and she doesn't care because her desire is to help create home and space for Mary. Friends, when we are present with people, when we're not going about every other thing that's going on, but we pause and we stop and we offer presence for people, we begin to create that home for them. Here's the second thing she does. She displays real joy. Friends, we are the people called the church. For goodness sakes, if we're the grumpy people around Christmas, what is wrong with us? What if we displayed real joy even in the midst of whatever we are going through? I love how Mary shows up and even the unborn baby in Elizabeth leaps. Now, Elizabeth could have said, sorry, Mary, I've had indigestion, right? But she doesn't. She says, even my baby leapt for joy as you came in. She really displays this incredible joy for her. Can you imagine how exciting this interaction must have been for Mary? Everybody else in the world would have heard this news as bad news. Not Elizabeth. She says, oh no, I am so excited for you. I am so grateful for you. I think that we are called as people who follow Jesus, people who call ourselves Christian, to do that for other people when they can't do it for themselves. If Mary can't do it for herself in that moment, Elizabeth says she can. And here's the final thing I want to share this morning about this. Show people that they are loved by God. Mary must have felt like $1,000,000 when Elizabeth said, happy is she who believed that the Lord will fulfill the promises he made in her. Elizabeth looks at this refugee to this new land in her home. And she says, boy, are you blessed. God loves you so very much. God loves you in ways that you might not even know. And I am so grateful just to be connected to you, to someone whom God loves so, so deeply. Friends, there are lots of people in our world who don't feel at home. There are lots of people in our world who don't feel loved by God. There are lots of people who are longing for connection. And what if this crazy experiment called the church is to be just that? Not a place, but a home. A place where people, a community, a home where people could feel loved. A community, a home where people find that space and find that grace and find that welcome. We got a few days before Christmas. I pray that you find space to begin creating home for someone else, because I believe that absolutely delights the heart of God. Amen.